Good morning, welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Tuesday the 28th of July 2020. My name's Nick Hurley. Late last night we hit a record high gold price, or certainly a record in recent years. It hit $1,945 an ounce, which is about $20 higher than the recent high it hit. And silver's up over 8% to $24 an ounce. Now you may not know, gold is Australia's sixth biggest export, and in 2018 we exported $16 billion worth of it, and it's about 6.5% of our total exports. Now what's going on with gold? We mentioned last week, it seems to be a similar situation to what unfolded after the global financial crisis in 2008. There was a big rush to gold because of devaluation in the US dollar due to very low rates, and we're seeing more of that this time around. We've got some of the investment banks in the US predicting even higher gold prices. Bank of America has a forecast of $3,000, so that's up another 50% over the next 18 months. And UBS, the Swiss bank, has $2,000 by September. So it's certainly something that's going to be eagerly watched by markets. We also have the US Fed meeting, I think, in the next couple of days to sort of discuss their sort of steps forward. We've seen a lot of uptick in coronavirus counts in the US, and you know, it keeps growing around the world and the economic impact of that. So there could be being even more dovish in their messaging going forward. Things such as yield curve control and those sorts of measures could be proposed. That will put more pressure, downward pressure on the US dollar, and probably make gold benefit as a result. You may not know, Australia still owns 80 tons of gold, owned by the RBA. It's actually held offshore in London. It's worth about $5 billion. Okay, staying in the US now, the founder of Bridgewater, Ray Dalio. Bridgewater's one of the world's largest hedge funds. Ray Dalio accurately predicted the sovereign debt crisis in Europe back in 2013, and he's appeared on Fox News in the US saying that there is a real risk of a major decline in the US currency, with one of the big effects being that the impact with China and the trade war. There's a trade war, there's a technology war, there's a geopolitical war, and there could be a capital war, he said. If you say by law, don't invest in China, or even possibly withholding the payment of bonds that the United States owes payment on in China, these are all possibilities. They have huge implications, such as the value of the dollar. He said the US is already endangering the dollar's stability by being the US's own worst enemy. The things I worry about the most are the soundness of our money. You can't continue to run deficits, sell debt, or print money rather than be productive and sustain that over a period of time. If we don't work together to do the sound things, to be productive, to earn more than we spend, to build the stability of our currency and build the balance sheet, we are going to decline. We're declining because of those things. So, stern words there from someone who has devoted their life to studying the sort of global economic scene. Back here in Australia, the founder of one of the neobanks, or these new sort of upstart banks, Judo Bank, Joseph Healy, has made an interesting argument in the Australian newspaper yesterday, saying that there should be a government sort of COVID hybrid equity vehicle proposed to support businesses to get through the COVID recession. He says most SMEs will come out of this crisis saddled with bank debt, lessor, landlord, tax office, and other creditor liabilities. And the fact that interest rates are at an all-time low is irrelevant given the magnitude of this liability mountain. Now, he says the most pragmatic approach is one to convert some of the portion of the unplanned and unwanted and unproductive debt to a private public sector COVID hybrid equity vehicle. So that will provide the inherently viable SMEs out there access to this sort of source of capital, minimizing the dead weight of the zombie firms and avoiding damaging the future borrowing prospects of entrepreneurs through damaged credit histories or credit ratings. So essentially what he's proposing is that it would be a reverse convertible where the government, you know, buys the company's debt, and if there is a downturn, then that debt would then convert to equity, which the company can buy back later in time. So it's some of those securities aren't non-existent in the market. You know, I think a number of the banks have those sorts of structures in place. So it's certainly something that could be done. He says that, you know, refutes the idea that companies will be deterred by having the government involved. He says the investing entity could be at arm's length from the government and mandated to support viable SMEs that might otherwise struggle. So certainly some interesting ideas there, and something that the Australian economy badly needs is sort of access to credit, particularly away from the big banks, which, you know, dominates the debt markets here in Australia. And finishing off with the market updates, the Australian dollar is back near that one-year high of currently at 71 US cents. The US market, about 45 minutes after open, is quite positive, with the Nasdaq's up 1%, the S&P up 0.5%. And that is your early finance briefing for Tuesday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.